Welcome to the podcast that brings you interviews, reviews, arts and entertainment news, all wrapped up in one place. You're listening to Art to Art with Imani Moe. Coming up in this special comedy edition, I get to have a hoot and holler with three successful comedians working that stand-up comedy circuit in the UK and beyond. So buckle up and enjoy Emmanuel Sanubi, who's had every job going. Well, almost.
I used to work for a warehouse where you were just sorting people's deliveries. You had four trucks, everything was marked A, B, C, or D, and then your job was to, for 9 hours, just place them in the right trucks.
Jessica Fostercue waxes lyrical about all manner of things, including her 21-year-old self.
What we learned about 21-year-old me was that she lived for the sesh, she worked hard, she played hard. And I think these days I'm sort of slightly more boring.
And let's not forget Tom Horton, who's actually lived in the Tower of London. Yes, that Tower of London, the tourist attraction.
I had left my comedy group and was moving up from Brighton to London, and basically was met with a choice of either renting a shoebox in Zone 6 or living with my dad in the historical palace in the centre.
And we even have a special kind of guest on the show. He's been described as absolute bonkers, and he's right here on Art to Art. It's the one, it's the only self-appointed slayer of stress.
Yogi Bear. Auditory awakenings with Mr. Tingles is the Howis of Usna.
And of course, Art to Art wouldn't be what it is without the uplifting tunes composed by my nephew, Luca Moe. That's right at the end of the pod in a segment we call Nef Jam. So let's get this comedy romp started. Ew, that sounded a bit wrong. Let's get this comedy special started, shall we? Cue canned laughter, please. No, not that one. Yeah, that one. Thanks. You're listening to Art with Imani Moe, and I'd love to have an Art to Art with you. First up, I'm talking to a man who's not been on the UK comedy circuit long, but he's certainly made a lasting impression. With Emancipated, his first Edinburgh Fringe show selling out in 2022 and garnering him a Best Newcomer nomination from the Dave Edinburgh Comedy Awards. So fast forward 2 years and Sanubi has created a second show and he's about to head off on a UK-wide tour. This time around, he's poured all of his old jobs into the show quite literally and called it Curriculum Vitae, where he takes us on a journey of all of his old workplaces before becoming a stand-up and shares the stories from them too. I caught up with the man himself to unpick those entries on his Curriculum Vitae, otherwise known as a CV, or resume if you live in the States.
I used to be a bouncer, in case you wanted to figure that out. I was a bouncer for a long time. I wasn't very good at the start. Like, I couldn't fight. I didn't need to fight because I looked like this. And when you look like this, you don't have to fight, right? Seriously, there's only two things you need to do when you're massive, and that's breathe in, right, and give a dirty look.
What was it about comedy that made you think, I want to do that? Or was it somebody going, Emmanuel, you're so funny, do it?
It was the second, but not in those words. They didn't mention anything about you. Like, yeah, it was my friend Christina Canby, who had done a comedy course. And then she basically said to me afterwards, you should do this. Like, they've got open mics. You don't need to do the course. Just go and do stand-up. And I'd had a drink. So I said yes. And then the next morning regretted it, hoping nobody would mention it again, and then somebody emailed me saying, yeah, I've been told you want to come and do the stand-up. We've got some room. And I thought, I've said I'll do it now. So I went and did it, and yeah, never looked back.
That's quite brave, because actually it's one thing sort of standing in front of people, maybe telling a story or a joke,
yeah.
But then even if it's like a 5 minute set or something like that. So how long was that first set that you did? Do you remember?
Five minutes set.
Did it feel
like
about 20?
An hour. Yeah. And that's the thing, your first five, you just want to get to the end, so you rush through it. So then that five stops being a five and all of a sudden becomes a three. And half of it is words you don't need to say. Like, when I look back at my first five and I start rewriting bits or start looking, I'm like, there's barely a joke in that five the way I would do it now.
Oh, that's interesting. So how would you say that you've evolved, and how did you also come up with your brand of comedy? Because there's lots of ways to do comedy and make people laugh.
Yeah, I think it's got to be about the act. So when I speak to new comics now and they ask me like what I think they should be doing, I'm not very big on giving advice because I think people have got their own journeys. But the one thing I will say is try and find something that you can say that only you can say it. That's the way I try and think. Because the amount, you can always see a new comedian when they get up on stage and they're like, oh, so I was on social media the other day, or oh, I was on this dating website. And or you'll get a Welsh act who will come up and say about poverty ping, or an Australian act will come up and talk about sharks. There's so many topics that have been done to death.
Yeah.
But that you don't know that until you've done it and someone else has told you. Mm. So I remember when I first started, I was going to do a show. And at this point, I only had like a 10-minute set in me. And the act before me did pretty much the same topics that I was just about to go and do. Yeah. And it's like, oh, what do you do at that point? So for that one, for that 10 minutes, I just went and started doing all the stuff that I never do, which I wasn't ready to do, but now I had to be ready. So then after that, I was like, right, what can I talk about from my perspective that no one else can? Mm. So that's a lot of where being a, like talking about being a bouncer, because I thought that's such a unique experience to go and speak about in such depth that it meant that wherever I was on the bill, nobody had those experiences the same way I did.
That's really, really good advice. And I'm actually really interested in that question, because all my friends say, Amani, you should be doing stand-up. But I know a few comedians and I've been to see them and I'm like, I could stand and talk in front of 400 people. I've done that. About something that may be work related or, you know, profession related. But when it comes to trying to make people laugh, actually trying to, it terrifies me. But there you go. That's just my feelings on the subject. And look, you know, obviously Emancipated did really, really well, and you did Edinburgh and onto your new show. So how did you come up with the second show and the material for it? It's called Curriculum Vitae. And actually, I think a lot of young people don't even know what that is. I mean,
no, they don't. I'm gonna start explaining it more, because everyone just calls it a CV, don't they? Americans, the show would be called Resume. When I came up with this, for months, I didn't know what to do for a new show. And then I got speaking to a couple at a show before my show. They were just asking me stuff, and I spoke to them about jobs I'd done before. And they were laughing. And they were like, is this in the show? I was like, no, this is just what happened before this. And they're like, oh, you should do a show about that. And I thought, you know what? That's not a bad shout. So I went home and I wrote down all of the jobs that I could remember that I'd done. And to see such a varied job list, and then started thinking about, right, what was funny in that job? What was funny in that job? What was funny in that job?
Did you have to go to the darkest recesses of your mind? Because actually, I was just thinking, there are some jobs that I absolutely hated, but I had to do them anyway, kind of thing. You know, when you're a student and stuff.
Yeah.
What was your worst job?
Those are the best jobs. The jobs that you hate, and I should really write this down, the jobs that you hate teach you character. Like, I remember being I used to work for a warehouse, and this was agency work, where you were just sorting people's deliveries, and you had four trucks, everything was marked A, B, C, or D, and then your job was to, for 9 hours, just place them in the right truck.
Gosh, yeah. I had a dishwashing job that was at Debenhams, no longer Debenhams, and I'm not very good with smells. I don't know what I was thinking, but like you, it was an agency job. I thought, I've just got to do this. I'm a student. I can't, you know, pick and choose. Oh, and every day. And then after, I think the week went by, the manager said, oh, can you come back next week? And I had to make an excuse. Oh, I'm really sorry.
I'm pretty sure I'm moving. to Alaska next week. Oh, I've got a big job. Bye.
I'm not very good at lying anyway, but I'm really bad at even telling white lies to somebody's face. So it was really painful and cringy for me. What was one of the best jobs that has, in a way, created a lot of this comedy and content for this show?
One that people know is being a bouncer. The other, there are some spoilers that shouldn't be shared, but there's a lot of jobs that people just would not expect from me. Mm-hmm. And I think that those are the fun ones, because some of them I've spoken about before and people still think that I'm just joking. So for some of these jobs, I show you on stage exactly what we did with those.
Okay. Obviously, musical theatre, I'm going to assume, is in there because I couldn't believe that you were in musical theatre. But that is brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. In terms of kind of some of the other things that you've done, so you've been able to do live at the Apollo, for example. You've appeared on shows like QI and also alongside Alan Davis, I know, with Jessica Hines and Patrick Kilty.
Yeah.
And when you do those kinds of shows, as a comedian, how does that work for you? What does it change, if anything, for you?
It gives you a better public presence. So the more people that see you, the more people will come and see you live. So that's really what it's doing. Plus, you get to share the stage with some very talented people.
Who are your inspirations, comedy inspirations?
Oh, Eddie Murphy. Always Eddie Murphy.
Raw.
Delirious.
For me. Yeah, both of them are amazing. I hear you on that front. If you were to say, let's just condense it into a one day in the life of Emmanuel, imagine it's a stage day. So you're on stage, you're on tour in whichever big city you're in. What would that day look like? Do you have any rituals or anything before you go on stage as well?
So if I was doing a tour day, let's say I'm driving up north somewhere from London, I leave early. I will normally do the school run, say goodbye to the kids, and then I will hit the road really early so I can get to the place really early. That way I can go and find a gym and I'll go for a run, I'll go for a workout. I sort of use it to clear my mind. And being on a treadmill, just jogging or walking is a good time to have just to think about stuff. And I'll go through the show in my head. And then I'll get to the venue. Again, I like to be as early as I can so I can do a full tech run, make sure everything's right and there are no surprises. After that, it's chill out time. iPad comes out. Watch anything on Netflix. Not even that bothered. Probably have a nap. And then it's time to get ready for the show. And I would have eaten hours before because I can't do it on a full stomach.
Mm, interesting. I'm glad I asked that question. And just finally, on Art to Art, we have something called the watch list. And the watch list is anything. It can be new, old, classic, and it's whatever is on. You know how we've all got a to-do list? Probably the length of my arm. You know, this is the entertainment version of that. You can give me one or two or three things that are on your watch list that could be anything from a podcast through to a book, a theatre production, any of those things that you're raring to go and watch or listen to.
Yeah, there's a book in the Twilight series that I didn't know existed and I haven't read it. So now, what's it called? I think it's called Midnight Sun or something like that. I got told about this and I was like, what the hell? Why did no one... And now I have to go and read it.
Excellent. Brilliant stuff. Emmanuel, it's so lovely to meet you. Thank you so much for the chat today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was the brilliant Emmanuel Sanubi there. If you want to find out more information about him, all you need to do is go to emmanuelstandup.com. That's Emmanuel with two M's, standup.com. He's heading to Leeds on the 10th of April, but Emmanuel will travel across the UK before concluding his tour in Salford on the 2nd of June. You can also catch up on his first show, Emancipated, on Next Up Comedy. There's a free 7-day trial, which I chanced upon via Amazon Prime Video. Little top tip for you there if you fancy it. You're listening to Art with Amani Moe. Yep, that's me, where we bring you some cosy conversations with some fabulous people from the world of arts and entertainment. You can access all available podcast episodes on all major podcast platforms, or you can head on over to the website art2art, that's art, the number 2 art.podbean.com. And if you want to search me out on socials, it's just AMANYNYMO, all one word, on Instagram or X, formerly known as Twitter. Next up on Art to Art's special comedy tour, I'll be having a chat with the brilliant podcaster and stand-up comedian Jessica Fostercue. She's heading to a city near you in the UK with her show Metal. And still to come, Tom Horton and me talk about scams, a real one that actually became part of his stand-up routine. Tom Horton's brand new show is called It's Not Ideal. It's on its UK tour currently until the 12th of May. So I'm very excited to have an Art to Art with both of these standout stand-up comedy guests right here on the pod. And we even have a special kind of guest on the show. It's the one, it's the only extreme ASMR practitioner, Yogi Bell. But next up, we have a more established comedian with plenty of strings to her bow. Jessica Fostercue has been doing stand-up since 2008. Her show Hench was nominated for Best Show at the Dave Edinburgh Comedy Awards, which saw her head off on the road on an international tour. She's been on a number of UK comedy TV shows, has flexed her acting chops in shows like Sharon Horgan's Motherland, and if you love your podcasts, you can hear her regularly as co-host of The Guilty Feminist and another pod about eating, definitely my kind of thing, called Hoovering. But more on that later. So without further ado, here's the rather fabulous Jessica Fostercue, who's just started her comedy tour, Metal.
Do you know what? Good on this personal trainer for taking me on, because I am a weirdly open and honest with these people. Before you do any exercise, they have to do like a consultation on you. And she said, what do you want to get out of this? And I was very good. I said, I just want to be really strong. But then I carried on and explained. But I've got a sort of history of mental health stuff when it comes to my body. So never tell me what to eat. Never tell me what not to eat. Never comment on my body size. Never make me look at myself. Never make me weigh myself. Also, I don't like being out of breath.
Let's just go back and start at the, I don't want to say young Jess, because that could sound rude, but you know, the kind of younger you that was starting out in comedy.
I'll take it.
You're still
old, I can take it. What do you want to know about young me? There was a thing, wasn't there, on social media recently where people were posting pictures of when they were 21.
Yeah.
And
I'm
so old. No, I didn't get involved because I'm so old that I hadn't joined any social media when I was 21, because it only really Facebook existed, and I didn't join that until I was 24. So there weren't any pictures of me. But when I did dig some out, I think what we learned about 21-year-old me was that she lived for the sesh. She worked hard, she played hard. And I think these days I'm sort of slightly more boring. More boring in the old lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's no bad thing.
No bad thing. I have to say, I'm glad that it wasn't, I'm with you. Facebook was my first kind of social media. And I think I had a picture of a fish from Tunisia on there for quite a long time. I was like, why do these people want to see my face? No, I think I'll just stick with the fish. Thank you very much.
The things that we used to think were private as well, we'd be like I'm going to put my date of birth on there. And now we're basically like, we're just sort of holding our ripped open chests open now on Instagram every day. Go, look right in, look in. What else can I give you?
So true. It's so true. How did you get into comedy? Did somebody close to you tell you that you were hilarious? Do it, Jess. Or was it more like you went to see a show and were inspired in some kind of way?
Well, sort of neither of those. Comedy, certainly nobody ever told me I was very good at anything, comedy wise. In fact, I had a dad who would say, if I did a school play afterwards, I remember a friend being really upset. We were both in a play and we both played the same parts on different nights. So the first night she was in it and her parents picked us up and they were like, oh my God, Maya, you were amazing. And then the next night I was in it. It actually went much better that night, technically. There were no sort of problems with the staging or anything. And my dad picked us up and he got in the car and went, that was crap. Please don't ask me to come and see anything you ever do like that again. And I haven't.
No.
So I definitely didn't have anyone saying you're hilarious. But comedy was a really big currency in my house. Like, my dad is very funny. and cruel, but also funny. And his mum was really funny. And we watched lots of brilliant things. There was great stuff on TV. I think I was very inspired by the likes of Rick Mayall and French and Saunders and Carolina Hearn. Mm. And those were like my heroes. And actually like Blackadder, stuff like that. I mean, just even Tommy Cooper. Really old-fashioned stuff. And then as I got older, there would be more things like League of Gentlemen and then The Day-to-Day. So those are the things that really inspired me. I didn't have access to stand-up as a kid or a teenager. Mm. I grew up in Dorset and there weren't, that I was aware of, live comedy clubs. I don't think I'd ever seen stand-up as we know it, like alternative post-80s stand-up on TV. It must have just been on too late or whatever for me to... So I didn't see anything until I was a student. And even then, I don't think I was seeing the best of the best. I remember the first time I saw stand-up, I thought he was a genius. I thought the guy, I was like, oh my word. And I look back now and think, actually, that man was doing a load of old Bob Monkhouse jokes at a freshers' gig. It's not great. You'd be cancelled for that now. And rightly so. So it was... It was powerful to be funny at school, and I used being funny to get into much cooler friendship groups than I should have been allowed in and stuff, as someone who didn't really sort of have looks on my side. Yeah, it's interesting. It was currency, but the idea of having it as a job became much, much later when I realised it was nothing else that I wanted to do enough that I could put all my eggs in that basket. Mm. And then I got into bits of acting and bits of improv for fun, you know, not for work. And via improv, ended up in a group with people who went on to extraordinary things, Sarah Pascoe, Gemma Whelan, Carrie Ann Lloyd. And Sarah and Pascoe started stand-up. This is awful. I thought, well, that looks fun. I'll do it then, a year later. And that was it. I fell in love. And then very quickly, as soon as I tried it, first taste, I was like, ah, wow. Okay, let's go. I started doing it every night, as many nights as I could, and worked very, very hard for a very long time. And then eventually it became a job.
Wow. The thing is, people think comedy's like really easy. You just go up there and stand there and tell a few jokes. You might open up about your personal life or something that happened to you. But actually, it's such a tricky job that people completely underestimate, especially when you go to a pub or, you know, those venues that are, you know, in small places where there's been lots of booze beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tough. Every single gig is different, basically. And like, weirdly, I grew up in an era that's changed now. Like, you can cut your teeth online now. But when I grew up, you had to cut your teeth in weekend clubs where you'd generally only be the only woman on. There'd be big groups of drunk people. And that's where you were trying to learn a craft where actually when it's done at its absolute best, it's done to people who love comedy, not to people who love having 19 pints and a fight. Do you know what I mean? It's so weird that was like this bear pit to learn your craft in, where actually... Weirdly, I remember one of many light bulb moments over the course of the last 16 years was one where I went, why are you spending all your energy on this? It was because of where you can get paid first, right? But why are you, because actually you watch people stay there, I'm going to say it, too long, and you end up with material that works to people who are leathered, not at their most intellectually sharp. For comedy to work in those environments, it needs to be adversarial, aggressive, short, thick, accessible, rude material, which there's nothing wrong with. Those people deserve their night out. They deserve their laughs just like anyone else. But actually, if that's not what you want to do, or you want even the option of telling a slightly longer, more nuanced, interesting story, you need to take it outside of that and take your comedy and put it in front of people who love comedy and not just the sesh. Yeah.
Edinburgh and places like that, you mean?
Yeah. And there's loads of fantastic smaller festivals as well. Leicester, Brighton. There's amazing festivals in Wales, Machynlleth, Aberystwyth. There's all over the place. But also online, and there are smaller, room above a pub, weekday nights. It takes a long time, but it's a grind that's absolutely worth it, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, you've got quite a varied career. And, you know, the stand-up comedy, I guess, is your bread and butter, but you do so many wonderful things. I want to talk about the new show. You had Wench, Hench, Why No Rhyming Slang for Men? So then the metal.
Yeah, I could have called this show Stench or Clench, but I realised I was getting trapped in a rhyme, trapped in a poem for my whole life. And I didn't want to be, like, I didn't want to be beholden to having to have shows that rhymed with Ench forever. I've had a few people be absolutely livid, but I've changed it to a different word. I've gone for the word metal with two T's. One, I like a weird word that people think isn't, you know, you've got to look it up or go, I've known that for a while. I'm going to check I know what that means. I like that. I want to provoke thought. And it's what the show's about. It's about digging in a bit, putting a bit of a shift in, being not being too cool to try really hard. It's really shown itself to me as something I value very highly. In the last year, especially, I turned 40 and I expected things to perhaps start slowing down by this point. And if anything, they're speeding up. And it's I've never been moving at such a pace in my life. In so many different ways, I mean that. But I feel passionate about more things than I have ever felt passionate about before. And I'm determined to get some stuff done. Those things are what this tour show is all about. And it comes all over the UK and Ireland between now and June. Yeah, there's over 50 dates. So
wow. Congratulations, firstly, for making it into the 40s Club. Well done, you. Yay.
Thank you.
Yay, Jess. Go, go, go. And yes. Secondly, what an incredible tour. So many dates. I mean, who makes you laugh?
Oh, so many people make me laugh. It's easier to tell you I don't like... No, I basically so many people. Who's making me laugh at the moment? Oh, some of my friends, I think, are the funniest people in the universe. Sarah Pascoe, Jen Brister, Sarah Barron, American comedian. Mm. I think Joe Lycett's genius. Lou Sanders is funny even when she's dancing on ice. She's somehow also being funny. I am a big fan of so many comics out there. I do really still love comedy a lot.
And I like the fact that you also appreciate other people's comedy, Jess. That's really wonderful. Finally, I want to talk to you about podcasts. I love a good podcast. So yeah. The Guilty Feminist, I can't not mention that one, of course. Hoovering is your other one. Take us through what you love about podcasts and a little bit about each of those.
Yeah, so, I mean, Deborah is... the host of The Guilty Feminist, and I sometimes get to co-host it, and she sums it up so beautifully at the beginning of every live show. I don't know if it's in the edit, but she basically says podcast is radio that no one stops you making. And so that's what's brilliant about it. There's no the man, there's no one anywhere telling what you can or can't say on there. You are your own best friend and worst enemy, and it's a free-for-all. And I love that about it. I'm very grateful to Deborah for the platform of being on such a big podcast as The Guilty Feminist as regularly as I get to do it. It's a very friendly place to test new ideas, comedy-wise. She's joyful to share a panel with, and we know each other well enough now that it's just a laugh. I learned so much. I learned so much from her and from her audience in terms of where the world's at and activism and feminism and, you know, what's going on in the big, big, big picture. And my podcast, Hoovering, is all about eating. I thought there was enough noise in the space about food. And I think it's very normal to say I love food. I think it's a lot more transgressive, especially as a woman, to say, no, I love eating. It's a different thing to food. It's like an act, you know, a big shameless act. And to sort of talk about hunger and fullness and people's complex opinions around and relationships with eating. So that's what Hoovering is all about. It's been going for 6 years now. So again, I've learned loads, and it's been on a journey. You know, to start with, I was flirting with veganism. That was a big fall from grace if you listen from the beginning. Then I got pretty obsessed with the anti-diet movement, and I learned my way out of a history of frankly quite disordered eating of my own, and discovered intuitive eating, etc. And these days I think my focus is shifting, not with any less passion on those topics, but I'm really interested in food waste and eating in a way that impacts the climate in the most positive possible way, at the same time as holding on to those values in terms of taking joy from eating and eating in a healthy, happy, free, shame-free way. Mm. So I'm talking to people who are experts in all of those fields or who've got interesting stories in all of those respects. Yeah.
Amazing.
So
that's where I'm at with all those. Well, you're talking to the right person. I'm an Arab. That's what we do. We eat and we feed everybody.
Yes, please.
Even
yes,
my please. New rescue cat's overweight now.
I love it.
I got ticking off from the vet the other day. I was like, oh, sorry. My podcast, Art to Art, is about sharing, you know, a bit of what we like watching as well. There's a feature in it called The Watch List. So I want to ask you, Jess, what's on your to-do list of watching, listening to, whether it's a podcast, a movie, it can be basically anything from the arts and entertainment world that's on your list.
At the moment, I'm desperate to see the film The Zone of Interest. My partner said it was the best film they've ever seen. I'm desperate to listen to Icklewick FM, which is a brilliant double act called Delightful Sausages' new Radio 4 comedy series. It will be a pretend creepy, brilliant, funny radio station by the sounds of it. I don't know anything about it. I just know it'll be proper pant-wetting funny. I love watching really dark, nasty dramas. But at the moment, I don't watch loads of comedy. Actually, I like watching really thick, rich stories that make me sob and howl. I am hungry for nonsense. And so the stuff on my list is, I loved Traitors. I lived for it. I breathed for it. Gladiators. Absolutely gutted after work Saturday nights. Gladiators is back. That is a bisexual person's absolute dream come true, that show. Not a single person on there who wouldn't get a kiss. Survivor. There's a show called Survivor, Australian Soul Survivor, which we've only just got in the UK. We just finished a series of that. My lovely friend Joel Dommett hosts, and I want that job. I'd like that job. I'm enjoying Young MasterChef with my son. He's 8. He loves eating as much as I love eating. And I'm finding that really inspiring. It's actually just a brilliantly made bit of reality TV about cooking and eating. Yeah, so I'm looking at stuff like that. I'm looking at nonsense. And often on tour, I gift myself one sort of fantasy type nonsense. We just finished Silo, which was great, on Apple, which is based on some science fiction novels. I'm giving you loads of answers here. I hope this isn't too much. I like anything with Jason Momoa in. And so every time I have a tour or a bit of away time for work, I treat myself to another series of, it's not great telly, but a series called C on Apple, where he's in it. And then it's set in a post-apocalyptic future where no one can see apart from a few people. And that causes all sorts of conflict and it's quite fighty. And he is really great at doing the thing he does in everything he's in, just existing in a beautiful way.
So you just basically, what you don't care about the series, you're just watching him, essentially.
I'm watching him in for similar reasons to the ones I'm watching Gladiator. I'm not looking to be intellectually stimulated, but just in other ways.
Excellent. Love it. I've now got something that I can't unsee right now. That was the brilliant, wonderfully funny Jessica Fosterque. And you spell Fosterque Fosterquew. There you go. You can find her on socials, on Instagram if you want to. And for the website, you can head on over to jessicafosterque.com. Metal is her brand new tour around the UK from now until the 21st of June. You're listening to Art with Imani Moe. We aim to bring you some fabulous conversations with a whole variety of guests from the arts and entertainment world. Feel free to find me on socials at Imani Moe, that's AmaNnyMo, on Instagram or X, formerly known as Twitter. Or if you want to check out all available episodes, all you need to do is go to Art to Art. That's art, the number two, art.podbean.com. Still to come, I'll be chatting all manner of madness and fun stuff with comedian Tom Horton. And so far, we've been enjoying the funny bones of both Jessica Fosterque and Emmanuel Sanubi. But next up, I'd like to introduce a rising star. A man who's incredibly hard to track down, but we've managed to get him right here on Art to Art. More on that in a mo. And don't forget, there's another original composition designed to fill your soul with good vibes. It's another Neff Jam from the musical mind of my nephew, Luca, right at the end of the pod. Now we're taking what I like to call a wellness break. Everybody needs one, but you're about to embark on a journey into your mind with the power of sound. Okay, I'm not as good as him. And apparently, the slayer of stress. Hell yeah. Who doesn't need a bit of that in their lives? Well, my next guest is a man who takes sound baths to another level with EcoSound showers. He's the highly sought after extreme ASMR practitioner. It's the one, it's the only, Yogi Bell. I'm not sure if the world's ready for this, but here goes.
Just before the dawn chorus, after the night animal fall to sleep, there is a time when the world is completely still. A time you can hear the voice that has no words speak, but your mind become distracted by the sound of a thought. Did Tim Henman ever win Wimbledon? I am Yogi Bell, extreme asthma practitioner and the coach. Yes, today I am at the Paddingtown Rec in Paddingtown, which is nowhere near the Wimbledon, listening to the calming, incidental sounds around us. Here, you can be hearing the people playing the tennis. Oh, what is that? That is the sound of a man with plastic bag picking up the poopy of his doggy. Yeah. He is good citizen, and I can help you become good citizen too. I will help you realign your I am that I am and recalibrate to block out the sound of the modern world and the angry voices that surround. Come to my show this Thursday at the Penn Theatre. Yogi Bell, the Howes of Asthma. Is that a flying penguin? No, we are now in the oceans of your mind. The oceans of your mind. The oceans of your mind. Yogi Bell, auditory awakenings with Mr. Tingles in the Howes of Asthma.
You've just heard from the extreme ASMR practitioner who's taking comedy stages by storm. If you want to find out more about him, you can head on over to socials. It's just Yogi Bell on Instagram. So Yogi is spelt Y-O-G-I-E, and Bell is also with an E on the end. He mentioned there his next gig in London at the Penn Theatre on the 28th of March, but there's also one on the 4th of July. But if you want to find out where he's popping up, you can check his link tree on Instagram for more gig information. You're listening to Art to Art with Amani Moe, and you can listen wherever you get your podcasts. Please do like, follow us, and share the love with your friends. You can find me on socials at Amani Mo, that's AmaNnyMo on Instagram or X, formerly known as Twitter. Or, if you fancy it, you can just head on over to the website art2art.podbean.com. That's art2art.podbean.com. You're listening to Art with me, your host, Amani Moe. You can catch up with all episodes on our website art2art.podbean.com. Next up, we're poshing it up a bit with comedian Tom Horton. And don't forget, there's another groovy, uplifting Nef Jam from my rather brilliant nephew right at the end of the pod. It's time for my final guest. It's none other than Tom Horton, a very posh comedian who's happy to talk about his privilege, but in a very relatable way.
Have you ever noticed that really posh people always talk as if stuff happens to them by chance? I was at this dinner party the other evening. We were swapping holiday stories. Then from across the table, suddenly this woman announces, "Last summer, we found ourselves in Tuscany." I thought, no, you didn't. No one finds themselves in Tuscany. You find yourself in the disco room of a tiger.
Eh, voila! You have Honourable Tom, whose father's a lord no less, and he's lived in the Tower of London. That's not even a joke. Tom's amassed a huge following on TikTok and other social media platforms. He's even created a podcast about posh places called Bad Manners. I do love a play on words, actually. So I'm thrilled to introduce him now, as he's out and about on tour at the moment with his stand-up show, It's Not Ideal. I want to start with the tour. Obviously, this is a really big tour for you, up and down the UK. Must be really nice to feel, well, wanted. I love the fact that the show's called It's Not Ideal. So I want to get the lowdown on where you got the title from and where you got the inspiration for the material for your new stand-up.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you. It is nice to feel wanted. Very wanted. Thank you for having me on. I feel even more wanted now. Well, the previous tour was called Absolute Shambles. And now this one is called It's Not Ideal. So it's gradually getting a little bit better, is the plan. So the next one might be called, like, you know, Fair to Middling. And then eventually my final ever tour show will be called Absolute Perfection, and then I'll retire.
Amazing. Well, don't get there too quickly. You know, we want to still have you on the circuit. It's important.
There's a lot of problems with me. I've got a long way to go. There's a lot of self-development that needs to happen.
How's it going so far?
It's been really lovely, you know. This is the first tour that's gone international, which is really nice.
Wow.
So from September last year, I've done this show in America and Scandinavia and across mainland Europe. So you talk about feeling wanted. It's been amazing to be able to, for the first time, go over to different countries, and people have actually turned up. Blows my mind.
Do you think there are certain jokes that you've got in your stand-up that just don't translate, are completely lost in translation, and you have to do a little bit of explanation?
Yes. is the short answer to that. Definitely when doing the abroad gigs, you go through your set, and it's more the references that people don't get than the jokes. Like, people get the jokes mainly, apart from in Germany when they don't laugh at anything. But, you know, if you mention Woolworths, which also, to be honest, even the youth of the UK don't know what Woolworths is anymore.
Well, I know what Woolworths is.
I don't want to be rude or anything, but I wouldn't describe you or I as the youth of today. You're a very attractive and still younger woman, but
thank you.
I'm talking about this. You're not. I'm assuming you're not a teenager, is what I'm saying.
Correct. You're being very polite, Tom. You're getting extra points and brownie points from me right now, because I'm enjoying watching you just not squirm, but just work your way very gingerly into that. You're not a teenager, are you? That was an excellent question, by the way.
But you're right. Like, so even in America, obviously, I mean, even some of the sort of the slang terms we have, like even just like calling it a bin rather than a trash can, even that would throw them off.
Oh, gosh.
And so I had to sort of do a few rewrites. What I'd normally do is I'd find a local American or, you know, Norwegian person, go through my show and just find what their equivalent of what I'm trying to say is, and then just have a reference sheet.
You spent lockdown, I believe, in the Tower of London. What's that all about? How did that come to be?
I spent half of lockdown in the Tower of London, the first half of it, on my own inside the Queen's house, which was, then I realised that's a terrible idea. The palace became a prison very quickly, and I retreated to my parents' house in the countryside. So my father is the former chief of defence staff for the ex-head of the British Armed Forces. And when he retired, the Queen made him the Constable of the Tower of London. And in that, at that same time period, I had left my comedy group, my old comedy group, to go solo and was moving up from Brighton to London and basically was met with a choice of either renting a shoebox in Zone 6 for several thousand pounds a month or living with my dad in the historical palace in the centre. And I went, I think I'm going to do that one because who the hell gets the chance to do that? So I moved in and so that is how I ended up living in the Tower of London and doing it for lockdown.
What a story. I'm sure there's lots of people that just wouldn't believe you.
Oh, well, I remember while I was living there, I used to try and use it as a chat-up line on a night out and people would just think I was a drunken idiot. People always thought, it must be a really good chat-up line. It's like, no, no one believes you. In the smoking area of a vodka revs, they're not gonna go for it.
They're not gonna go for it. Well, it seems too good to be true, right? So probably, yeah, I can imagine from a woman's perspective, it just seems like you're just really laying it on a bit too thick. Now, I saw your post about your mum being scammed. So a bit of your stand-up was about that.
Yeah.
My mum actually 2 weeks ago, honestly, was scammed. And so I was like, oh, what's this about Tom's mum? So I watched it and I laughed out loud throughout the whole thing because conversely, my mum was suckered into it. And can you believe that she didn't even think to call me? It was about my brother, actually. And my brother would never text her like that. And I said to her, how did you not realise that that was not him? And she said, well, I just thought he was busy. And I said, he would never ask you for money, firstly. Secondly, he'd never do it like that. He'd call you and talk to you, you know. And why didn't you speak to me? Oh, I don't know. And she just paid money. She just handed money out. What's that about?
So she actually did hand the money out.
She actually gave this creep and cretin some money. And then... it's just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, what I take from that is just the blind love of your mother for your brother. That's the positive spin on that. My mum didn't actually have any sympathy for the scammer and just told, like, she thought it was me and just told me to get a life and sort myself out and what an embarrassment I was. But then did add the scammer, the new number, into our family WhatsApp group and remove me because she thought my number was the old number. So then the scammer was then several days inside our family WhatsApp group getting pictures of my nephew playing piano and being invited to Sunday lunch. So by...
I love that. That's so funny. That really must have been a like, what's going on here? I've been embraced by this family, by these people. Everyone should watch that clip of yours because it is so funny. I'm going to finish off asking you a question about, because I'm curious about what you might be watching or listening to. And on Art to Art, we always ask our guests about the watch list. The watch list is something, you know, we all have a list, a to-do list, as long as our arms probably, of the day-to-day stuff that we need to do, ensure or whatever it might be. So this is the kind of the to-do list of the arts and entertainment world. What is on that ever-growing list of yours that you can share with us? Because you might be giving us some top tips.
Oh, God. I mean, I'm going to sort of out myself as a proper nerd now. Is that, I mean, are we happy
do
with
it,
that?
Do it.
So I'm currently really deep diving into the Warhammer 40,000, 40K lore for several reasons. One, because my best friend is really into it and it's fascinating. It's all high epic fantasy. I am a proper nerd with the board games, but also Henry Cavill, who is the most attractive man alive, I know is going to be releasing a Warhammer 40,000 series and and films and stuff. So it's about to be the next sort of Game of Thrones Marvel thing. So I'm getting ahead of the curve and deep diving into the Warhammer 40,000 lore. And there's like over 300 books. It's such a vast universe. So, yeah. And I listen to audiobooks rather than read books because I'm severely dyslexic and I find audiobooks a lot easier. So my going to sleep routine at the moment is a sleep mask with headphones in, a scented candle, lying there listening to Space Marines battling it across the universe.
hang on, I was expecting, like, you know, quite a calm thing before you go to bed, but oh no, you're listening to some space stuff, warships, yeah, battling.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know, I'm listening to the Lunar Wolves blast open Tyranid swarms on planet Terra.
Don't you have nightmares when you go to sleep finally?
You know what, I've never slept better.
Oh, well, there you go.
What does that say? This is my dad's army general genetics blowing through me. This is the closest I'll ever get to joining the military.
And your father must be proud.
I'm sure deep down somewhere in his stoic heart he is.
Tom, listen, I wish you all the best for It's Not Ideal. It's touring until May. Congratulations. It must be like quite a feat getting through and going around the country, but I'm sure you'll manage it with Panache and have a really bloody good laugh while you're doing it as well.
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, the reaction to the audiences has been amazing. It's really lovely, so I'm very excited.
What an absolute joy to have a chat with Tom Horton there. His brand new show, It's Not Ideal, is coming to a stand-up stage near you from now through to the 12th of May. If you want to find out more about Tom, you can just find him on socials or YouTube as Honourable Tom or his website honourabletom.com. You're listening to Art to Art with Imani Moe, and I'd love to have an Art to Art with you. If you're enjoying the pod, do share the show and a bit of love with anyone you know who loves their arts and entertainment. You can catch me up on socials at Imani Moe, that's AmaNnyMo, all one word, or you can catch up with all the episodes that are available on all major platforms now. All you need to do is go to arttoart.podbean.com, that's art, the number two, art.podbean.com. And that's a wrap, as they say. I hope you've laughed your way through our comedy special. Now, I'm so excited to share with you some of the amazing guests that are coming your way on Art to Art with me, Imani Moe. They include the incredible actor Tony Curran, Cannes Festival winning director Anthony Chen, author Erica James, and the brand new cast of 222, A Ghost Story, as well as the actress Helen Pearson for the musical Calendar Girls. So stay tuned for all of that coming your way over the next days and weeks. But what's that I hear? Tick, 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 tick. Oh, could it be Nef Jam O'Clock? I'm glad to say it is. So let's get that musical outro that gets us grooving into our day and week ahead. The track's called What's Cooking and is composed by my brilliant nephew, Lou Camo. If you like the jam, feel free to check out Luca's socials at Luca Mo Music. Here's a massive thank you to all of my incredibly funny guests today. The brilliant Jessica Fostercue, Emmanuel Sanubi, Tom Horton, and who can forget, Yogi Bell. Thank you to Luca Mo for the Art to Art titles and incidental music, and my heartfelt thanks goes to you for listening. Keep smiling and chuckling. Until next time, see ya! You're listening to Art with Imani Moe. This is your podcast that brings you interviews, reviews, arts, and entertainment news, all wrapped up in one place.